Strange Tales.
RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Strange Tales, your weekly weird story brought to you every Sunday by RelicRadio.com. We'll hear this week from Theater 5, a series that aired over ABC stations for 256 episodes between August of 1964 and July of 1965. It aired 5 days a week at 5 p.m. Our story today is titled The Wish Fulfillment Machine. This one aired December 24th, 1964.
Would ever dream of a world in which a woman wanted to grow older. But I did want to grow older, so that he and I could grow old together. Can you understand that? What a precious thing it is to grow old. Can you understand?
Theater 5 presents The Wish Fulfillment Machine.
Patient number 1659738. An extreme manic depressive paranoia with pronounced suicidal tendencies.
All right, all right. You don't have to shout.
Well, I'm just doing my job, sir.
Very well, very well.
The regulations state very clearly to announce in a loud voice...
Yes, I know, I know.
I was only doing my job. We all have our jobs to do, and I was doing mine.
Yes, very good.
Will that be all, sir?
Yes, thank you.
I'll be back to pick up the patient in 1 hour.
Good, thank you.
Thank you, sir. I was only doing my job.
Yes, I know. Well, how are we this afternoon?
Fine.
Oh, fine. Such a lovely afternoon.
Is it? It's hard to tell down here without the sun.
But you don't need the sun. Down here, the lighting and atmosphere, they're all synchronized with what's happening up there. It's the same here as if we were in a building on the surface of the earth.
I'd rather see the sun.
Why?
Because you can't know what kind of day it is until you can see the sun, unless you can feel the sun shine directly on you, unless you can feel it hot under your skin.
But this is so much better.
Is it?
Of course. We're so much more protected down here.
Protected from what?
From the elements, from attack, from everything. And you, you're more protected than anybody.
I don't want to be protected.
It's for your own good.
I would like to decide my own good.
Well, at this time, you're incapable of deciding your own good.
Oh?
Come now, what seems to be your problem?
There's no problem. I just want to die.
My, but that is a problem.
At this time, in this place, in this society, it is.
No. That's not what I mean. At a time when you have everything to live for in a world where every wish is gratified, every desire fulfilled...
Maybe that's my problem. Having everything, I'm like the man who sat too long at the high table. I'm so stuffed with food that the thought of another bite makes me sick. Having nothing more to live for, maybe I'd like something to die for.
You mean you'd like the experience of dying?
Not the wish fulfillment machine. Not just to go through all the sights and sounds and emotions of dying, and when it's over to wake up and go on living. No. That death has no meaning. I want something in my life to have meaning. When I die, I want to stay dead so that death again has meaning.
Meaning. Your thinking is still twisted on this.
Is it?
Yes. You refuse to face life as it is. This is a beautiful society we have here, Andor. It's taken us 30,000 years. But we finally achieved what man has always dreamed of. Utopia.
Utopia?
Yes, utopia. We've freed man from all the diseases he's been heir to. All his destructive emotions. We've liberated the essence of man. His true, creative, inner self. And put it to work on the real problems that face us.
What problems?
Oh. Building a better world? Maintaining the one we have? Now just think of it, Andor. The computers in these walls provide our every need. When we're hungry, they feed us. If we're cold, they turn up the temperature.
Mm.
Yes, that's true. And if we fall sick anywhere in the complex, they put out arms that pick us up and nurse us back to health. Now then, if you want to, well, have a love affair or lead a nation into war, the wish fulfillment machine pops out, caps your head, and presto,
doctor.
Yes, in seconds, you've felt all the emotions of a Napoleon or a Casanova. And without any of the time-consuming energy waste and the disastrous side effects.
And when you come to, you're still sitting in the contour chair of your cube, concentrating on the work assigned to you.
But you don't have to stay in your cube. You can walk anywhere in the complex if you wish.
For what?
To meet people, find a girl, fall in love, even marry.
Doctor, I've been married 18 times. How many times have you been married?
Now, just what does that matter?
It matters that I can't even remember the first names of most of the women I've been married to, let alone their faces.
Marriage in this century doesn't mean the same as it did even as late as, let's say the 1900s. People here fall in love, they live together. When they are no longer in love, they separate. It's just as simple as that.
And as meaningless. Doctor, how many children have you had?
I'm interviewing you, young man, not you, me.
Well, I must have had 350.
Well, let's see now, 356, according to these records here.
And I don't know what one of them is like.
We can call any one of them in right now to talk to, if you wish. It's just that simple.
No, you don't understand. I've seen them, talked to them, but I don't know what they're like. I haven't lived with them, eaten at the same table, gotten angry with them.
Oh, my dear, your thinking does remain quite primitive. Families were a necessity from the dawn of man until about the end of the 20th century due to economic and psychological pressures, but hardly a way to raise children. No. Some people aren't emotionally fit to raise goldfish. So, if you take the children away from all parents and put them into a nursery under people who are especially selected for their emotional balance and maturity, what have you got? You have children who are emotionally balanced and well-adjusted young people.
Who aren't connected to anybody.
They're connected to society.
Society is an empty, cold, impersonal thing.
Society is the most important thing we have. It plans our life for us. It guides us.
Look, Doctor. I'm 325 years old. How old are you?
Age is meaningless in this society. Nobody gets old and nobody dies.
I'd say you were about 565 years old.
So?
What are you living for?
My work. What else? It is just beginning to become interesting. The more complex our society becomes, the more challenging are the cases such as your own.
My case is simple. I just want to die.
Well, I'm afraid that cannot be permitted. You're too valuable to us. You have one of the most creative engineering minds available to us.
A machine would be better.
Faster, not better. A computer is no smarter than the man that programs, and certainly not more creative. That's why we always need men, don't you see? Machines are not creative.
Since I have such a creative mind, don't you think I could destroy myself if I really wanted to?
Oh, not with me present.
But suppose I killed you.
Not here. This room would come to my rescue, you see. You know that. I believe you helped design it. This is a specially controlled environment designed to handle extreme mental disorders. If either of us stopped living, even for a moment, the computers in the walls would sense it and send out sensors to repair us.
Suppose I jammed the machinery.
Even if you could, help would arrive.
Suppose I jammed it until we were past all help, all repair.
We have little time here to waste on speculation. Your hour is almost up.
No, doctor, no, not the wish fulfillment machine.
Now, please trust me, Andor, I am here to help you.
No, please, doctor, no.
Andor, it'll do you no good to fight this machine.
No, not the wish fulfillment machine. I won't have it, doctor.
It is not a wish fulfillment machine, Andor.
Oh. In a way, it's like the old shock therapy machine, not as painful. I put you through an emotional experience to reveal your thought patterns and force you into new
ones. Doctor.
Prepare yourself, Andor. Prepare yourself. I'm putting you under the first of several emotional shocks.
Where am I?
Get your head down, Sarge. I want to get killed.
What?
Those are real bullets they're shooting at us over there.
Where am I?
Come on, Sarge. Wake up. They're coming.
Who's coming?
The Krauts. Who else have we been fighting for the last 6 months? Will you quit playing games?
I'm not playing games.
Well, are you going to lead the attack or not? The lieutenant says you were to lead the counterattack.
No.
No.
I don't want to die.
Nobody wants to die, but we aren't. We haven't got any choice.
Look, I won't leave.
Sarge, you stay here and they'll kill us all right here in the trenches.
I can't.
Come on. Sarge, they're coming.
No.
Sarge, you've got to save us.
I can't.
Pick up that machine gun. Let's go,
no,
Sarge.
No, I can't.
Sarge, they're here. You've got to save us. Save us.
All right. We'll fight. After all, it's only another way of dying.
Come on, you guys. What do you want to do? Live forever? Come on, kill them. Kill them before they kill you. Kill them all.
Express a desire to live.
Now,
if we can find the proper motivation, plus a little acting out.
Oh.
I'm going to put you under again, Andor. Oh. Deeper this time.
No.
Deeper.
Andor. Oh, there you are, darling. Where have you been?
Right here.
Don't talk, my darling. Just hold me. I've been looking for you for so long.
Who are you?
Don't you know?
It's so difficult. So difficult to see your face. You're so beautiful. It's hard to believe.
No, my love. You were the one who was beautiful. Inside. The things you think and feel.
You're so soft to the touch.
Don't talk. Just hold me. I've been searching for you such a long time.
And I for you.
I'm here, my darling. I'm here.
I can't believe it. You're everything I've ever wanted.
Oh, darling. It will be different with us. We will grow old together. Give life meaning.
Yes, yes, and you will never leave me.
Oh, never.
Wait a minute. No. No, it's a trick. You're just like all the rest. It'll last for a day or two, and then it'll all be over.
No, my darling.
I will know! Doctor, I know what you're doing!
Andor, no! Andor!
It is all a figment of my imagination, another trick from the wish fulfillment machine.
No, Andor, please, trust me.
I can tear this machine from my head if I want to. All I have to do is exercise my will.
Andor, don't tamper with that machine.
My will is as strong as yours, Doctor. The machines or anyone.
No, Andor, no!
Take this.
I'm my own man again.
Well, now that you're what you call your own man, just what do you intend to do?
Control my own destiny again. To return meaning to my life by returning to my fate.
I don't understand that.
I'm going to return the gift of death to life again, so that it will have meaning again.
How?
I'm going to kill us both.
Kill? You know that's quite impossible in here.
You forget, Doctor. I'm one of the engineers who designed this room. I know just what it can do and what it cannot. You see this?
Yes? What is it?
It's an antique weapon called the .45 automatic. It was manufactured back in the 1900s. I found it in one of the old museums up on the surface and restored it to working order.
You're not supposed to be up there.
I know. I've done a lot of things I'm not supposed to do, like walk in the sun. This crude weapon fires a .45 caliber lead projectile, propelled from the gases expanding from an exploding mixture of simple ingredients. Gunpowder, it was called. I mixed a batch myself.
But I don't...
It's a crude weapon, Doctor, but with the proper kind of pellet. It has enough power to tear a hole through a man as big as your fist.
Oh, such a wound in either of us could easily be repaired by the machinery in this very room.
Oh, I'm not going to shoot us, Doctor. I'm going to shoot the room.
I don't understand.
Keep away from that alarm button. I know of a spot beneath the smooth skin of this room where a lead pellet from a weapon such as this can penetrate and paralyze this room. The computers will stop functioning, the oxygen will stop coming in, and the still doors will be frozen shut.
They can cut through those doors. We'll have help in a matter of minutes.
Above the ceiling of this room, there is a high-pressure line of sulfuric acid. My second shot will be aimed at it. Within seconds, the room will be filled with a fine spray of sulfuric acid. Within seconds, you and I should be mostly liquid. And you know as well as I, neither man nor machine can repair a liquid.
Well, what are you waiting for? If you know so much, why don't you shoot?
I will.
You see? The alarm went off. The heat from the explosion triggered the computers before they were destroyed by that pellet. Already, they've started the rescue operation.
You really think they'll reach you in time?
Of course. The lights are dimming.
Why does that surprise you, Doctor? I told you I destroyed this room. Don't you believe me?
No, of course not.
And why are you trembling?
Sweat
is beginning to break out on your face.
Are you afraid, Doctor?
What are you afraid of?
Death? Life has meaning again because death is real. Birth, life, death, marriage. All those things have meaning again because we can measure their presence against their loss. We again know the very real human fear of the loss of these things.
I'm not afraid.
Then why do you tremble? Why does your voice break? You shouldn't mind at all if I place the second shot.
No, please don't.
Oh, Doctor, nobody's going to rob me of my meaning again.
Number 18539 here to pick up patient number 1659738.
All right. You don't have to shout.
He's asleep?
Yes. He's still under the influence of the machine. You'll have to wheel him back.
Those new machines are rough on them.
He's all right. Once he wakes up, he won't remember a thing.
You straighten him out all right, Doc?
Oh, I straighten them all out. It's my job. That's what I'm here for. Just one thing, though.
What's that, Doc?
Brilliant mind this man has, despite his other problems. But I wonder why he's always searching for meaning.
George Bamber, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Ivor Francis, George Petrie, Rhina Rayburn, Bill Mason, and Jeff Davis. Audio engineer, Marty Foglia. Sound technician, Ed Blaney. Script editor, Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser.
That's our strange tale for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Theater 5 at RelicRadio.com alongside thousands of other old-time radio shows, all the other Relic Radio podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and everything else we have going on. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, you can do so through the website as well. Click on that donate button. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts. Any amount is always helpful. Thanks to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Sunday with a story from living fiction on another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.